Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the universe, and we ask Allah to raise the rank of our master and leader Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and protect his Muslim nation from that which he feared for it. Good afternoon, dearest listeners. You are tuned in to a new episode of Community Connect with Nadia on 92.1 FM Muslim Community Radio. I hope you all had a very delightful Eid break with your family, friends and loved ones. It's back to work for me after a much needed break. And I'm really excited and honored to be reconnecting with you on a new episode of Community Connect right here on the Muslim Community Radio via 92.1 FM. So we are back to the normal routine and back to the normal programming. Community Connect is back with you and back better than ever. Today, I'll be bringing focus to a very important health topic. It's related to food allergy. And since it's Food Allergy Awareness Week, why not? Should we not talk about this important topic that is affecting many people in Australia and abroad? So today I'll be talking about the types of food allergies that exist and the different sorts of activities that you can get involved in as part of raising educational awareness on this health issue. Of course, some plans have changed because of the current COVID-19 circumstance, but there are different ways that you can help to raise awareness about food allergies in Australia. Welcome back, dearest listeners. You are tuned in to a new episode of Community Connect on 92.1 FM Muslim Community Radio. It's Food Allergy Awareness Week, an Allergy and Anaphylaxis Australia initiative, which was launched in May 2003. It's obviously an annual campaign and initiative that aims to increase awareness and improve public understanding of the different types of food allergies that exist, some of which can be mild, moderate, or severe, meaning it can be potentially life-threatening.
We know that 1 in 10 babies born in Australia today will have a food allergy. Those rates are very high and quite alarming. Some of those children will outgrow allergies, such as milk and egg allergy. You know, we can't predict when they're going to outgrow it. Some will outgrow milk or egg allergy by age 3, whilst others will be 13 or 14 before they outgrow them. Unlike milk or egg or wheat allergy, we have many children, so 0.3% of children develop a peanut allergy. Tree nut allergy is also quite common, and as is sesame seed. These allergies are generally lifelong, and we have about 6 to 8% of the childhood population growing up with allergic disease. And if they've got sesame or fish or shellfish or tree nut allergy, chances are very high that they'll have those allergies for their life.
Well, as you just heard by the Executive Director of Anaphylaxis Australia, food allergies do exist all around the world, but Australia has one of the highest reported cases of food allergies in the world. And it's actually said that the numbers are growing rapidly at a very alarming rate. In fact, 1 in 10 babies born in Australia today will develop a food allergy. And this goes to show you that food allergies are quite common. They're known to affect more people than you think. So I think it is timely that we all consider and reflect on the following facts and learn how to support those who experience allergies. Whether that be those who are young, those who are old, food allergies are known to affect people of all ages. Allergy and Anaphylaxis Australia estimates that there are more than 650,000 Australians with diagnosed food allergy, and that doesn't account for the many who are undiagnosed. For many people, managing severe allergies doesn't stop when you grow up. Individuals in their teens and 20s are at the greatest risk of an allergic reaction. Whilst 90% of food allergic reactions are caused by 10 foods, there are more than 170 foods known to be triggers. Bananas, kiwi fruit, mustard, and celery, just to name a few. You can imagine, dearest listeners, that parenting is hard enough, especially when you've got a challenging toddler or a preschooler. But what about when they also have a serious food allergy? Today I'm going to be speaking with two mums, one of which whose daughter was diagnosed with a food intolerance, and the other mother who has a daughter who is anaphylactic, so a severe case. We do have one of those mothers with us on the line, and we'll see which one of the two we have with us. Hello.
Hello. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
How are you, Nadia?
Alhamdulillah. How are you, Sister Samia?
Alhamdulillah. I hope you had a good Eid.
Alhamdulillah. The Eid that we experienced this year was a lot different to previous Eid celebrations, but alhamdulillah, we did enjoy it with our loved ones.
True, alhamdulillah.
I think the kids are saddened that the Eid festival isn't on this year.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And I think for the parents equally, because we have to cope with the nagging. Why isn't there an Eid festival? And, you know, I want something exciting to experience. But I think
Alhamdulillah, they've done well.
I think we compensated this Eid for them by splurging them with all sorts of gifts.
Alhamdulillah.
Sister Samia, I'd like to first thank you for joining us on the show this afternoon, despite your busy schedule. But from my knowledge, I'm aware that your daughter, Inas, has a food intolerance. What kind of food intolerance does your daughter have?
So she can't have eggs, she can't have nuts, she can't have sesame, she can't have, so the last one, dairy.
Wow. So that's a large number of different types of foods that she can't consume.
Yeah, true.
So when did you find out that your daughter was intolerant towards those foods, and how did you find out?
It took a while. First, like, I didn't straight away know, but when I used to give her these teething rusks, there was one that has milk. Like, it's a biscuit, but it has a bit of milk. So when she used to take it, then she used to have red spots on her face. And I was thinking, that's strange. And once I gave her, like, some yogurt, like it was a little bowl, and she was eating, but then she had diarrhea and she felt hot. So I was thinking, there's something going on.
So what raised the alarm bells? I mean, we know that kids do experience diarrhea as babies. It's quite common. But what made you realize that your daughter has a specific type of condition that's leading her to experience those symptoms? Is there any particular symptom that raised red flags for you?
There was the constant itching, but it wasn't picked up as allergies at the beginning. They were just telling us it's eczema, and use the cream and use the cortisone and keep on using it every day. So we were thinking, like, maybe it's eczema. And as well, she had a specialist she was going to. And as well, he was telling us it's eczema and use the cream. And then one day she was at someone's house. She had a cupcake and she vomited. And as well, she had, like, some, you know how the Lebanese halloo is stuffed with nuts?
Yeah,
she had some and she vomited.
Oh, my God.
So then when we were telling the specialist about this vomiting, he said, do an allergy test. So he referred her to the allergy test. And then she came back with a lot of allergies that we didn't even know about. Some of which we guessed, but some that we had no idea about.
Oh, my God. So you went to do the test for your daughter to see if she has an allergy, but you received the results, and those results indicated that your daughter has so many allergies that you didn't think anything of.
Yeah. And even the person who was testing her, she knew, like, maybe the parents have some idea, but there was some that we had no idea. Like the sesame, we were sometimes eating her an usheb zaatar that had sesame. We didn't even know. And then they said, the test came up that she can't have sesame.
SubhanAllah. So can you say that it was a lengthy process to get an official diagnosis? I mean, from my experience visiting several doctors, it took the last doctor I visited to officially diagnose me with celiac disease. And like you said, I mean, not every doctor would immediately direct you to the fact that it could be potentially a food allergy, especially since it does take a long time. And do you think that's associated with the lack of awareness about food allergies?
It could be, and it could be some reason why they don't say food allergy straight away and why they say eczema first. There could be some reason.
SubhanAllah. So how are you coping with your daughter having an intolerance towards all those different types of examples that you gave? I mean, is it something difficult for her to cope with? Is she
sometimes,
at school?
Sometimes, like wanting to have what others have, if she's allergic to it, that's a bit hard for her. But in regard to me, if she's home and I've, like, taken care of the food, she's fine. But if we want to mix with people or go to a restaurant, we can't just have anything. You can't share food, like, without any consideration of what's being shared. So it's a bit different in that way, but it's okay. Like, it's manageable, Alhamdulillah.
I mean, I like the perspective that you're giving about it, that it's manageable and it's not the end of the world. There are more severe and worse cases out there that your kids may potentially experience. But Alhamdulillah, it is a calamity. But like you said, we just have to manage it with the best of our ability. Samia, thank you very much for jumping on Community Connect this afternoon and talking about your child's food intolerance. Thank you so much for raising awareness. Barakallahu fiki. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much to Sister Samia. And now we have another beautiful mother whose daughter is not food intolerant, but rather she has a food allergy and she is anaphylactic. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Alaikum assalam.
How are you today, my dear sister?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Are you feeling nervous that you're on air with me?
A little bit, yeah.
Can you just introduce yourself to our listeners?
Well, my name is Silvana. I'm 22 years old and I've got two beautiful kids and one on the way.
MashaAllah.
I've got a 10-month-old daughter who is severely allergic to eggs.
Mm. And she is the focus of our discussion. And she is the reason why you're with us on air to raise awareness about what your daughter is experiencing. Your child, your baby, was diagnosed with a food allergy at a very young age. It was when she was six months old.
Yes.
Okay, now tell us about how you dealt with that at the beginning and how it was for you to know or to find out that your daughter is severely allergic. Now tell me firstly, how did you find out?
Well, she was 6 months old and I've got a toddler. So I was making breakfast one day for him and I go, she should start eating food like us now. So I fed her the tiniest bit of egg.
Mm.
And mind you, before that, I was feeding her egg custard, egg-based stuff, but not an actual egg. And she was experiencing hives.
SubhanAllah.
But every doctor was telling me it's eczema. Not an allergy.
Similar to the caller before you, whose daughter has a food intolerance, and she received the diagnosis that her daughter has eczema because she did have red spotting all over her body. So she had hives. Now, what's hives for those who don't know? Is it just spotting red spots on your daughter?
Well, I could tell the difference between eczema and hives. Eczema is usually a dry spot. You can tell it's dry, while hive is actually a bit of a lump. It's red and it has like white around it, so you can tell.
So it's a lot different to eczema, obviously.
Definitely. So yeah, like how the doctors told me it was eczema, which she does have eczema, but I just wish someone told me before that she's got an allergy and you should beware a bit. Anyway, sorry. So she was very irritated and stuff, and I don't know anyone that has an allergy, so this is all new to me.
Yeah.
So I fed her the tiniest bit of egg. She started itching her face, and I was actually putting her to sleep. So while I'm putting her to sleep, she just wouldn't. She was so unsettled. So I lifted her up, and then she just went, like, knocked out in my arms. Her arms went all hives. Her head just fell. Her eyes welled. Both eyes went red and puffy. She started vomiting so much, which is a bad sign because it means that it's like, you know, like she can't breathe.
Those are the symptoms and side effects of an anaphylactic reaction. Were you aware at the time that she's experiencing an anaphylactic response?
No, like I said, I don't even know what an allergy is to start off with. Even when I went to the hospital, they didn't know much what to do because I completely forgot. I even fed her that tiniest bit of egg.
It didn't occur to you?
No, because I don't know anyone that has an allergy.
Okay, so you went to the hospital and did they tell you that your daughter is experiencing that reaction because of her food allergy? Or did it take some time before they officially diagnosed her?
I stayed for like all day and night. For them at the end to tell me, we think she had an anaphylactic reaction. They couldn't. The hospitals can't actually confirm that it is. That's what she has. They have to go be referred to a pediatric.
Pediatric,
And then an allergist did a test, and then the results come back.
And how long did that take until you officially diagnosed her?
I would say when she's like 8 months and a half.
Wow. So from 6 months to 8 months?
Yep.
It took you 2 months?
I went private.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, but during that time, did they tell you to stay away from certain food products or no, just leave her as is?
If anything, the allergist actually recommended me to try the most common allergy food before the age of one because it gives her more of a chance for her to get these reactions later on to be allergic. Yeah.
I mean, there are many specialists and doctors who, I mean, there's mixed opinions as to when you should be feeding your child these types of products such as, you know, egg or wheat or nuts because they are known to be common food allergens. But in your case, he did advise you to go about it in that way. Now, in terms of your daughter experiencing an anaphylactic reaction, I mean, I can imagine how absolutely terrifying it was for you to witness that. After she was diagnosed, did you ever have to witness your daughter experiencing that type of reaction?
No, because I started becoming aware. Even though I know that egg should be avoided, I still have a lot of anxiety to a lot of things because egg is in a lot of products.
It absolutely is. It's very common, and anxiety and stress go hand in hand with any sort of health condition, especially one that affects our children. And so for your case, you always have to be extra aware of what everyone is eating and how close they are at sitting to your daughter. I mean, one little tiny bit of that food can be detrimental for your daughter. So what are some of the burdens that you find food allergy families struggle with the most? What have you personally struggled with?
I've struggled with because I have a toddler, a three-year-old, and it's very hard to keep him away from her when he is eating something egg-based.
So you need to always monitor your children.
Yeah.
It's always about monitoring your daughter and ensuring that she doesn't, pick something off the floor and put it in her mouth, as a result causing her to go into anaphylactic shock, which is quite detrimental. What can you tell us about the severity of her case and what could potentially happen and what it could potentially lead to if she does consume any of those products?
She could die. Like that, when she was 6 months old, I never ended up giving her the EpiPen because I didn't know what was happening. It made me wake up to myself, realizing,
Alhamdulillah.
Allah gave me another chance for her to be in my arms and to look after her.
I can't imagine how distressing that would have been for you. I mean,
It still is. It still really is. Honestly, it's a very emotional topic for me because till this day, I still walk. Even today, I still walk into the aisles trying to find her a meal to make her.
Yep.
Only it's really hard because I know that it's egg that she's allergic to. But also, an allergy is never just one thing. It's mostly linked to nuts. It's more than 75% chance she's anaphylactic to nuts. But I just have this really high anxiety that I'd rather avoid her eating nuts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I can imagine how traumatized, like you said, and how anxiety-inducing it is. It's very crippling to be in that position. A lot of people aren't aware of how difficult it is to live a life
in that way. It really is so hard. It really is so hard. And you surround yourself with people that don't understand how severe it is. I don't know anyone that has an allergy in general, so I feel different. I feel like, why is my daughter like that?
So you think it's a very isolating experience for you because you feel alone. You feel like there's no one around me, but little do you know, Silvana, that there are so many people in Australia, and I mentioned this statistic, that 1 in 10 babies experience a food allergy. So don't feel alone and surround yourself with different groups who have a child with a food allergy. It can be very isolating because you feel like you're alone. But if you feel like you've met someone through that organization, they can lend you that support that you need because they truly understand. They can support you through those support networks and, you know, give you an indication that there are so many people in the community who do face what your daughter faces. I don't know if you heard my conversation with the caller before you, but I did mention that I'm allergic to wheat and gluten, so I have celiac disease. And the same with my father. When I was first diagnosed, I did feel like I was isolated. But when you look around you today, there are so many people who actually have such conditions. And we are very lucky in Australia that we have life-saving medication, which is so easy for us to get for our children.
Yes, even the allergy on the back of the packet, they're mostly accurate. That's why we're so lucky in Australia as well, because of the ingredient of the allergy side.
And they're making it more clear for people to understand and to read the packages, the food packages and the labels. Because reading labels is something you probably never thought too much about before, but now you're an expert at it.
So I was like a cook before. My social media was all about cooking, all about food. And ever since I found out I don't bring eggs to my home anymore, cooking is just different now. But I have adapted a few recipes and I'm happy because she could eat like dairy products. So that's a really good thing.
Alhamdulillah. See, when you look at the positives, it gives you momentum. It gives you that dedication to keep going, because when there's a will, there's a way. There's so many options. Even restaurants are making it so much easier for people to eat. You know, even for people who are vegetarians, even for people who are lactose intolerant, people who have celiac disease, there are options available. And more that people are becoming aware, the easier it's becoming. So alhamdulillah, there are heaps of foods that are available now that people with allergies just didn't have access to many years ago. So things are changing and we're adapting more and more to these types of things. But you mentioned at the beginning that you didn't know anything about allergies. What is your advice to people who are listening now? How can they help you raise awareness about what your daughter is going through? How can they help you? What kind of support do you need to keep you going and to keep you strong?
It's a question I never thought about.
Well, I put you on the spot.
No, it's all right. You got me thinking.
So how can they support you? How can they raise awareness? All right, let's talk about the topic of food allergy. Obviously, it's a topic that affects you so much that you were brought to tears because of it, because of the struggles and the hardship that you're facing. And there's no shame in, you know, letting out a tear and expressing your emotions on community radio. But there are people listening now. What do you want to tell them about how they can help raise awareness about food allergies, especially since it's Food Allergy Awareness Week?
Honestly, I don't know how, I have no idea how you could spread awareness. I think just by being educated about allergies in the first place.
How can we educate people? That's the question. What is the best way of educating people? Now, obviously, social media is booming and Instagram is a platform where millions of people are on. How can we do it? You've got an Instagram page. How would you go about raising awareness?
I would just share my story. Share meals that I make sure that are without eggs.
I think it would be a good idea for you to start a page on Instagram and to aim to raise awareness about food allergies. And you can also spread information about how to cook specific dishes that are egg-free, nut-free, and the like. So I think that would be a good starting point for you. If you can open a page publicly and dedicate that page towards raising awareness about food allergies and the struggles that you as a parent of an allergic child goes through, because hardly anyone knows the struggles.
I didn't.
Exactly.
I started searching up pages on Instagram about egg stuff, and there were a few pages.
Yep. Yeah,
so that made me feel a bit better.
And I think it's important for you to speak out, because by speaking out, you can connect with others. And there could be so many other people like you who are in the same boat, who don't have the confidence to reach out to other people. But once you start that platform, you will keep that network going. So you will meet someone, that someone will direct you to that someone, and there will be a big support group that you need, and very important for you to talk about and share, you know, some of the struggles that you're coping with, some of the struggles, some of the recipes that you are engaging with at home to prepare for your daughter. Things like that can help support you and to keep you going.
Yep, definitely.
I'd just like to commend you tremendously for joining us on Community Connect this afternoon and raising awareness about food allergy. And I wish you all the best, Sister Silvana.
Thank you.
May Allah Ta'ala ease your calamity.
Can I say something?
Yeah, sure.
Just like for all the mothers who are listening right now and they don't know if their child is allergic yet because they're too young, or they do have a child that is allergic or they are allergic themselves, I just want to say that it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
There are now products out there that are without those ingredients.
Yeah.
You're not missing out on anything. There's a lot of substitutes as well.
Absolutely.
You're not alone. Like, you can get through this slowly, and when your child grows older, they will become aware and be able to say no and push away from it. And never be negative, be positive, because I got told, even though my daughter is severely allergic to eggs, they believe she will overcome it by the age to 3 to 5 years old. So there is always some sort of light down the road.
There is hope. There is hope. And there is research
there is
being conducted.
Always.
Exactly. There should always be hope that there will be a cure. Because as we know, religiously speaking, from a religious standpoint, there is a cure for everything except death. So always remain hopeful. And inshallah, by the will of Allah, your daughter will be cured. Make dua always and have hope. Barakallahu fiki. Thank you very much.
Jazakallahu khairan.
Wa iyyakum inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
عاش محمودا حميدا صاله الله وسدا كنت في الدنيا لطيفا.
I'd like to commend Sister Silvana for her strength and courage by talking about her daughter's experience with food allergy and how she is struggling and how she is coping with that calamity. It is not easy having a child who is dealing with such an allergy, because it is a severe case and there is a possibility that it could lead to her death if it is not properly maintained. But remain hopeful, and inshallah, your child will be cured. We do have another caller with us online. We'll see who it is. Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikum salam. How are you,
Nadia? Alhamdulillah. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. It's Duha.
Ahla wa sahla fiki, Sister Duha.
How are you?
Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak to you and your family.
Barakallahu fiki. Now, Duha, what would you like to say about this topic?
Yeah, I was listening to a previous caller.
Yep.
And it really upset me that, how upset she was. I understood her perspective. And I think, like, with allergy, it's such a broad topic to really discuss in such a short time as well.
Absolutely.
But, you know, there are so many support networks. Like, you shouldn't feel alone. There are so many support networks, a lot of Facebook pages where you can like and really get involved with other parents that are also going through the same thing.
Yep.
So you shouldn't really feel alone. It is upsetting, but subhanAllah, you learn to adapt to it.
Absolutely.
So it becomes part of life.
It's a bit like when you first drive a car. Now, for me, when I was diagnosed with celiac disease, having to go down to the supermarket and browse the aisles and have a look at the labels and read extensively, it was quite difficult. But then once you get the hang of it, it becomes like second nature.
It is hard. And I think it's harder when it's a child as well.
Exactly.
Because, you know, they don't really understand what they can and cannot eat.
Absolutely.
So you really need to, you know, you feel bad, but you just need to really be strong about it.
Absolutely.
So her daughter's only, what, 6 months old, I think?
Yeah, she was 6 months old when she... she was diagnosed at 8 months old, so it took her 2 months to be officially diagnosed.
Yeah. Well, my son just turned two recently, and he did the allergy test at Westmead.
Yeah.
So he's actually allergic to every single nut.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah. So every single nut, egg and sesame as well.
So they're very quite common.
It's very common. And we don't have anybody in the family who has it.
Yep.
He was the first child from both families to be diagnosed with, an allergy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is quite upsetting, but I just wanted to call up and let her know that there are so many support networks and, you know, that you can get involved in, and inshallah it does get easier.
Barakallahu fiki. Honestly, it's very, very thoughtful of you to come on and to firstly, you know, let her know and give her that reassurance that there are support networks available. You're one of those people who can support her. So she...
You're saying, how can we raise awareness or let others know?
Yeah,
I think one of the most important things that we need to let people know is don't feed children anything without the parents' consent. And you know, this is normally done out of love, out of care, things like that. But
absolutely.
Really, it's a death and life situation. So, you know, if you go to gatherings or public areas, some people do it out of love. They give a chocolate or they give like a lolly that may contain traces of something as well. So my son is that severe that he can't even eat anything that may contain traces of the nut.
Wow.
So it's not just about, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's letting the public know that...
It's things like that. Sometimes they do things out of their own, you know, positive will.
You know, before I had my son, I would give a child a lolly or a chocolate.
Mm.
And you don't really think twice about it.
No.
But, you know, after you get a child and he has allergies, you know, it makes you really understand that you can't do that.
And I think it's a very common occurrence to see a stranger. You're out in the park, for instance, or at a shopping center, and your child approaches that stranger, and out of their love, they give them a lolly.
Like,
but
that
is something I was quite aware of long time ago. That although it is something nice for you to do, but it's so important for you to request the permission of that parent because of that reason,
because
of the fact that that child potentially could be allergic to what you're giving them.
That's one thing that we worry about the most. Like, if we go into public, you know, gatherings or anything like that, that's one thing that we worry about. And that's now, you know, we've purchased online like little badges that say, you know, you've got an allergy, or, you know, don't give me anything without asking my parents, or even stickers. There are so many things online that you can purchase, like from the allergyshop.com, just so you can, you know, people can see that he does have allergies.
Yeah, because they can't read through him. They're not going to
know
that he's got an allergy. So,
yeah, he'll just take it. So, subhanAllah, I just thought I'll pull up and share that experience.
Duha, thank you so much for that.
It's very common. It is very common these days. These allergies. It's very scary, subhanAllah.
It is very scary, but I think, you know, it is important for us as parents and, you know, for people like me who is experiencing an allergy, a reaction to gluten and wheat.
Yeah.
I have a role to educate people because I have that education.
Yeah, definitely.
You can't educate if you don't have education. So I think for each and every one of those people who are aware of allergies should take the opportunity to raise awareness about this issue by having a conversation, just a simple conversation.
I think a lot of kids, you know, are going through it, but it's not getting diagnosed correctly.
Absolutely not.
So a lot of it does get, you know, like the previous caller said, he gets diagnosed with eczema, for example, or, you know, dry skin and things like that. But really, it starts off with those dry skin patches, and it looks like eczema. But really, it can be something more serious and more severe.
That's right. It could be a very common and basic symptom.
Yeah.
But that symptom could have number of potential health conditions. So that's why doctors don't rush to diagnose. That's why you need to go through specific testing to be able to accurately determine if you have that food allergy. And just to point out now, For someone like me who was diagnosed with celiac disease, now, I was recommended by the doctor during that period of testing to not just seize consuming wheat and gluten, because that could affect the testing. So if you are going to be doing a test, don't stop what you're doing unless, you know, you have that fear that it could be an anaphylactic reaction, which is very life-threatening. But for, you know, usual symptoms and side effects like bloating, diarrhea, constipation, it could be a variety of things. But do keep it at the top of your head that it could potentially be a food allergy, which is very common.
It is very common.
SubhanAllah.
Well, we never thought it was this serious until, you know, he really got tested.
Yep.
And, you know, one of the last incidents that we had to rush him to the hospital because he had a small piece of walnut.
Wow.
And it was the most tiniest amount. Like, it was just a small, small piece of walnut. But, you know what, now we know. And now you know how to take your measures and...
Exactly. I mean, you learn from your experiences, and you need to take that opportunity to be an advocate for Food Allergy Awareness Week, which is...
It's very scary. So, you know, all the parents that have caught and they were really, you know, upset about it, it's very upsetting because you think about, okay, 3 years for me down the track, you know, schools, is it going to be enough free childcare? Is it going to be a nut-free playgroup, for example? You know, because sometimes they say it's not free, but parents pack something that contains traces of nuts, for example.
Mm.
So it's like you drop them off to some, you know, to school, but your heart's still there. You're very worried about, you know, what's going to happen during the day.
Exactly. Especially when you're away from your child and your child's attending preschool. Like we said, the scenario of a child who has something containing traces of nuts and that child gives it to your child and your child consumes it. So even if your child is young, I think, you know, you should really inform that child and warn that child not to take anything from anyone, no matter how old that child is.
No matter how old he is or she is, get into that habit of, you know, teaching them that don't take anything before asking mom or dad.
Absolutely.
So that, you know, because they don't know, they're kids, like they're going to take it.
Exactly.
But, you know, hopefully by the time they go to school, they know that they shouldn't be taking anything from anyone else.
Absolutely.
Barakallahu
fiki, Sister Doha. I appreciate you jumping on and talking about this issue with our listeners. Okay. Unfortunately, we lost that line, Sister Doha, but I'd like to commend you if you're listening to us via the airwaves of 92.1 FM Muslim Community Radio. Again, thank you, to Sister Samia and to Sister Silvana for calling us and for talking about the food allergies and food intolerance that their children are experiencing. Food allergies are incredibly scary because, as we know, food is something that is around us 24/7. And you never know when your child could find something that they aren't supposed to be eating and eat it, especially at the age of, 6 months, 8 months. You know, it is important for you to educate your children regardless of how old they are and just let them know that they shouldn't be taking anything from anyone. There has been a rapid increase of food allergy over the last 10 to 15 years. Apparently, anaphylactic reactions now account for 1 in every 500 hospital admissions for children aged 5 to 14 years. So hospital admissions for anaphylaxis, which is a severe life-threatening allergic reaction, have increased fourfold in the past 20 years, and the incidence of food-induced anaphylaxis has doubled in the past 10 years. So what is the reason for the increased rate of food allergies in Australia? He is the Chief Executive Officer of Anaphylaxis Australia to tell us.
There are a lot of theories in regard to what is causing the increase in allergy in Australia. We don't have an answer to that question, but the theories include a delay in introduction of food. So people have become very anxious about introducing peanut or egg or milk to their babies, and that could in fact be detrimental to them developing a tolerance to that food. But again, we don't have a clear answer to that question at this point in time. From our perspective, we let researchers continue with the research, but we do our best to help increase awareness and educate people on management and increase awareness too in the general community, because food allergies are a community issue. It's not just the problem of the person with food allergy. It is something the family needs to manage. It's something the school needs to manage. The workplace needs to manage. We can't just say to people, well, don't eat and you won't have a problem. It's important that we work with all the groups involved. It's a really challenging issue, and we try to collaborate with families, the food industry, with everybody involved to ease the burden a little.
So there are quite a number of theories that are roaming around, but there isn't a definite answer as to the exact cause of food allergies. But what we do know is how common each of those allergies are. And I'm sure, you know, most of you listening do have a food allergy, or at least know someone who has. And for those who weren't aware of the three beautiful callers who called up on the show and spoke about how their own children are experiencing a food allergy. One of those mothers called up and spoke about the intolerance that her daughter has. So the food allergy, which causes an anaphylactic reaction, is obviously a more severe case. But there is a difference between a food allergy and food intolerance. And again, there is not much awareness about how they differ from one another. So here is the Chief Executive Officer of Anaphylaxis Australia with a brief explanation of the key differences between a food allergy and intolerance.
People can have a food allergy or they can have a food intolerance. A food allergy is an immune system response. So the people have an antibody to a particular food. Most of the time it's a food protein, but there, in some cases it's a carbohydrate, but the vast majority is a food protein. When we're talking about a food intolerance, it is very different. That is not an immune system related response. People, for example, often talk about being lactose intolerant. Someone with lactose intolerance doesn't have an enzyme, which is called lactase, that helps digest the lactose, the milk sugar. They might be able to cope with a little bit of milk with lactose in it, but if they go over that certain amount, then they'll react. When we're talking about food allergy, even half a mil of milk can trigger a potentially life-threatening reaction in someone with an allergy. But someone with an intolerance may be uncomfortable, they might have bloating, they might have diarrhea. Sure, they might get hives, they might have a little bit of swelling, but it is not potentially life-threatening. The other difference between the two is that someone with food allergy usually reacts within 20 minutes to 2 hours of eating the food. Someone with an intolerance usually doesn't get symptoms for about 24 hours.
So those are the differences between a food allergy and food intolerance. Now, in terms of the symptoms, as we said, they can range from being mild, moderate, or in some cases severe. In some cases, yes, an allergic reaction can quickly become life-threatening and people can potentially die from a food allergy, especially if it causes an anaphylaxis or anaphylactic reaction. But the majority of cases are not life-threatening. They are just very irritating and can affect the person's quality of life, especially if the symptoms affect the gut, causing bloating and diarrhea.
صوتك الدافي كل يوم وعينا اسمك على شفا.
Anaphylaxis can result in respiratory or cardiac arrest within minutes of exposure to the trigger, but a study a few years ago found that 86% of Australians aren't able to identify the signs and symptoms of a severe allergic reaction, and 69% don't know what to do in an emergency, which is why awareness is absolutely crucial. Understanding how a reaction can potentially happen, the signs and symptoms of food allergy, and what to do in an emergency is very important. So it is quite surprising how a lot of people don't know the signs and symptoms of an allergic reaction. It's up to all of us to be allergy aware, to know how to minimize the risk of a reaction, to know what to do if a reaction happens, and to understand and support family, friends, and colleagues living with food allergies. So it is very important to mark Food Allergy Awareness Week in particular. Usually every year they organise events and activities as part of the campaign and initiative, but due to the COVID-19 health crisis, they've had to change their awareness-raising activities for this year. This year they are hosting two live webinars where Allergy and Anaphylaxis Australia CEO Amaria Said and Jody Aiken, health management educator, will answer questions you may have on food allergy management. Now you can join the free online question and answer webinar tomorrow, Thursday. From what I know, they already hosted the longer version of the session on Monday, but tomorrow they will be hosting a shorter lunchtime session from 1:30 p.m. rather. Although they are free, the webinars that they have, you will still need to register on their website, which contains all the event details. That's on allergyfacts.org.au. So if you have any questions associated with food allergies that you'd like to receive clarification for, I do advise for you to register. Also, aside from that, there are a host of other ways you can do your bit to raise awareness about food allergies and anaphylaxis. It could be a conversation with a friend, as I mentioned to Doha. It could be through sharing the organisation's Food Allergy Week resources on your social media networks, by helping to inform others and raise awareness about everyday management of food allergy. Also, raising awareness could also be done by downloading a badge and making it your profile picture on social media during this awareness week. It could also be done through holding a Facebook fundraiser or donating funds for allergy education, advocacy, and support. Given that Australia has one of the highest rates of food allergy in the world, helping to communicate the importance of understanding food allergy and raising awareness and much needed funds for allergy education is of vital importance. You can visit Allergy and Anaphylaxis Australia's Food Allergy Week website to view the resources available to help promote the week. يا مصطفانا المكرم يا رسول الله مغرم قلبي بحبك مغرم يا مصطفانا المكرم. And that's all for today's episode of Community Connect on 92.1 FM Muslim Community Radio. It was my absolute pleasure hosting the show this afternoon and bringing awareness about food allergies in Australia. It does affect more people than you think. And I'd like to thank immensely the three callers, Sister Samia, Silvana and Sister Doha, for calling up and speaking about how they experienced their child's food allergy and how their child was diagnosed with a food allergy, and how they raised awareness about the struggles that are often associated with parenting a child with a food allergy. So I'd like to commend them tremendously for their courage to speak up and for talking about this issue to our listeners. Inshallah, I will be joining you all tomorrow on another episode of Community Connect. But until then, I'd like to say assalamu alaikum to all our dearest listeners and commend those who are fasting the 6 days of Shawwal. For those who are fasting today, may Allah accept your fasting and your good deeds. Take care. اسمك يا غالي دايما في بالي من شوقك يا جميل بصلي عليك وارتاح والقى انس وافراح تشفى جروحي وتتهنى روحي من بعد ليل صباح جمالك ما في اتنين ما شافت مثله عين أسر فؤادي وزاد ودادي بدر الدجى
كنز الأحلام.